Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, you're about to watch Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, which is free! Hooray! Isn't that nice? If you want to help us make more, there are lots of ways to contribute. Why not head to gofasterstripe.com and you can buy DVDs or a badge, which will help us keep these things going. Or just tell your friends about it. That's all it really takes. Just help spread the word. We aren't a big TV company. We don't have any budget. We just rely on your kindness and goodwill if you like it. If you hate it, don't tell anyone about it. That's the way to get us back. All right, let's enjoy Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre. I wonder who the guest will be this week. It isn't who I was expecting. Let's just say that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who has just eaten a stinger tuba. It was as bad as he remembered. It's Richard Herring! Hooray! Hello! Hello, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. You're much better than last week's audience. So, it's funny that you are last week's audience, because some of the cool kids have started calling it Rahelastapur. Whoa, wow, they've gone crazy. So it was very exciting this week, the new acts of Live at the Apollo, the new series of Live at Apollo were answered. I thought, this is it, 27 years, 14 solo shows. They've given it all to women posing as comedians. All women, all of it. There's three of them are women. That's ridiculous, isn't it? What? Out of 18, it's ridiculous. So, no wonder I can't get on the telly. So, these women, they've posed so well, these women posing as comedians, they've become quite good comedians. But that is, they're actually better comedians than all of the men. But that is, they still started off by posing as comedians. It's quite an obscure reference. So, let's meet our audience. There's some good T-shirts I've just mentioned. There's a Rich Herring, says, relax your shoulders, very obscure. You can buy these at cottoncart.com, I think, or something. No one does. I saw someone online actually going, oh, Richard Herring. I saw one of the kind of snarky forums going, oh, yeah, surprise, surprise. Just like in extras, Richard Herring started bringing out T-shirts, cashing in. I'm really not cashing in. They're really there. It's a very exclusive. They will be worth a lot of money, these T-shirts, as you are the only person. You probably own all of them, don't you? But you're the only person who owns them. Anyway, let's say, what's your name? Laura, hello, Laura. Have you been to Rahelastapur?
Rahelastapur.
before? No. It's your first time. What brought you along? Your aunt. But you're the same age. That is possible. That's a very possible thing. Why did you bring your niece with you to... You're trying to teach her about comedy. What kind of what comedy do you like at the moment before you've seen Rahel Estepa? Thank you. You like Richard Osman? Yeah, he is really very good. He was funny, wasn't he? He was properly funny. Do you fancy him in the way that those naughty people on the websites fancy? He's gone now.
Not for me,
then. Not for you. Not the gigantic man. His big hand. Only his big. He's a foot taller than you. Well, he's about. He's a foot taller than me as well. I'm 5'7". How tall are you?
5'4".
This is good flirting, isn't it? This is how I used to chat up the girls in the old days. Find out how tall you were. Usually with me standing above them on a raised platform with a camera. How tall are you? I'm 3 inches taller than you. Yeah, okay. It's all right. It's all in fun. I know there's been a lot of entertainers harassing members of the public, but this is all normal and in good fun. Well, thanks for coming along. I hope you enjoyed the show. It should be good fun. Thank you for bringing one new person with you, even there. How many people in your family that you could bring along? Because yeah, have you got any other family members who might enjoy it? No. It's been a lot. I mean, you've been coming to the shows for a long time, though. So, you know, it's taken a long time for you to bring an extra person. That's what I'm saying. Really, just I've really got to test this out for my niece. You caved in, and like I know she's a niece. She's grown up, right? She's like an adult. So all that stuff for me having to go was all right. Don't tut at me. The people can't see back there thinking he's having to go at a 7-year-old girl. She's 4 to 5 foot 4, 7-year-old girl. Let's edit all this out, Dave. So it's. It's made me look bad. We were meant to have Al Murray on for this one. And everyone was... Who came to see specifically to see Al Murray cheer? Oh, fuck, that is quite a lot of people. I mean, you'd really need someone pretty good to make up for the disappointment of him not being here. But, you know, I literally had an hour. I only found out like an hour before the show. So I just had to find just anyone, really. And even then, they were all busy. So usually at the beginning, I'd do a joke where I say someone's best known for something really obscure. But this man really is best known for doing the warm-up on 8 out of 10 Cats. He was also in the film Angela's Ashes, which we'll talk to him about that. It's definitely him. Will you please welcome Michael Legg, ladies and gentlemen? Michael Legg! That's better than Al Murray!
Yeah! Yeah! I'm here for the beer! And whatever the lady wants for the woman.
Yeah, it's a good way.
Now I've got a catchphrase.
Yeah, it's good. And you've antagonised a quarter of the audience.
Yep.
Who like that catchphrase. It's good. Like me, I like it because it bought my house. So, how is it doing warm-up for 8 out of 10 Cats? How did you...
It is amazing. There's nothing... There's no better feeling than having... Because they're a properly lovely audience at 8 out of 10 Cats. I really mean it. They're really lovely. There's nothing better than having that audience in the palm of your hand for 15 minutes... You get to a punchline, you get tapped on the shoulder by a producer, you get told to get off so that Jim Jeffries can come on and do all his jokes about vaginas. Hooray!
You're quite an angry person, Michael, aren't you? I should say
angry.
That for...
That's all right. Quite angry. You can't clap. Rubbish. That's quite a silent clap.
It's not just clapping, it's clapping like a clapper.
I suppose I could just do that. There's no reason why that wouldn't work. Yep. But I like to make it look like it's a clapperboard.
Yep.
I can't use a microphone. That's my main. While I'm clapping.
That's what people have paid for.
The people at home won't know what that's about. Nope. Because before the show, I'd have to do this.
Yep.
because we can't afford a clapperboard.
But I was over there when you did the first one, and I didn't hear anything.
I'm not very good at it.
really
it's not really my job, is it, to do a clapperboard?
Well, you do the warm-up for this. To be fair, you famous for doing any tank warm-up. But the thing I do a warm-up for is very popular and famous.
Yeah.
Look what you do a warm-up for.
For me?
You.
For myself.
You. No one would warm up for you.
I couldn't get anyone to do it.
No.
Mate, even the guests
are free.
Even the guests don't turn up half the time. I thought I was going to have to interview Me Too from the snooker podcast. Which may still happen. So I thought, well, let's get straight into this. This is always fun. Have you been to the Dirty Britcom Confessions site?
I that was brought to my attention. I mean, I know that you've talked about it before on your podcast, but it was brought to my attention like a long time before.
I was surprised that you were on there, but you are.
Yeah, no, a lot of people are in the warm-up, man.
Yeah.
And then they fuck a real comedian.
You've got wait, Al Murray's one, he only had one, and Al Murray's one was, I want to have a pint with Al Murray, followed by a night of sex. That is one of the weakest Brit comedy conventions.
Whatever the lady wants for the woman.
But you've got loads, and
what?
They're quite good and dirty. I mean, they're quite properly... because you are renowned for being an angry person.
Yeah, and a warm-up man.
I want to get Michael Legg really angry at me, and then mid-rant just get on my knees and slowly start sucking his cock. See if he can stay angry. I think he would probably be angry.
You know what? The thing is, I probably would be really... Because you know what? It'll happen at an inconvenient moment. It never happens at a good time, a blowjob for me. You know, so I'm topping up my Oyster card. What the fuck are you doing? No!
And you're
I'm tapping
angry.
In.
You're already angry as well, so it's not. You're not like necessarily ready straight away.
No.
Just calm, make me calm down, then a blowjob, not just, oh, I'm cross.
What do they think's going to happen? Like, what, an angry blowjob? What do they think, I'm going to break her neck with my cum or something?
Could be a gentleman, we don't know. I want to have Doctor Who-themed role-play sex with Michael Legg.
So do I. In fact, I often wrap a scarf around my knob and have a wank, so it's fine.
Good. A few weeks, this is a good one. We talked backstage about your resemblance to Dave Gorman. A few weeks ago, I had a dream in which I had sex with Dave Gorman and Michael Legg was standing next to the bed shouting something...
I remember that.
About... I can't read my own writing. About a bed or something. Then Robin Ince appeared and shouted at Michael Legg for shouting at us. It doesn't sound enjoyable, but the sex was in fact great. In this dream.
Yeah. I was going along with that until that bit. The sex was great.
Yeah. The sex
doesn't sound like me.
Well, it was, to be fair, it was Dave Gorman having the sex and you're just shouting at them while Robin Hinch shouts at you. Would you be
Oh, that's also like some sort of weird shouting human centipede.
Yeah.
Human shouterpede.
A lot of people are interested in your shouting and ranting, turned on by it. I'd wait until Michael Legg was in full rant, then grab him, unbutton his shirt, and slowly kiss all the way down his torso, unwrapping him like a dirty present. I'd love to see him incoherent with desire.
Well, I'm often incoherent.
Yeah.
It's rarely with desire. It's with desperation.
My main fear about this is that someone will find this book, which I've just written these in, and think they're my own. Because I've done them about a lot of comedians, but especially with this one, it's just like, fuck, he really wants my collector's hand.
Is that why Bob Monkhouse got so worried about it? All those years ago. Oh, I'd love to suck Ross Abbott's cock. Got off the internet. What?
So you have a Chortle Award winning blog, which I find quite offensive.
Yeah, you were really upset by that.
Very
that.
Upset. You'd written like three blogs.
I'm not kidding you. It was. It's probably the proudest moment of my entire life. Not the award. You being angry about me getting the award really made me happy. Really.
Yeah.
You know, it's a proud moment.
It was a smack in the face for me.
Yeah.
At that point, they've been doing a blog for...
I don't even know what the award is. Can't give a shit.
I've written a blog every day for 12 years. I mean, in a way, I feel I've wasted a lot of time.
Well, I've read a lot of it. Yeah. It seems like you have. Yeah.
And I've wasted a few people's time. Yeah. Very increasingly fewer people's time as the time goes on. And then you came on, wrote, admittedly, 10 or 11 very funny blogs.
Yeah.
But then 50. Steve Bennett comes up, oh, I have an award.
Well, to be fair, 5 years before that, I very drunkenly had Steve Bennett up against the wall in Edinburgh, screaming, I'm one star, am I, you cunt? So he might have thought, I'll just give him an award. He won't threaten me anymore.
That's very big of him to forgive you.
Yeah, actually, it was. And do you know what? I felt really bad. I bought him a badge the next day.
Did you?
I
don't think that is enough to make up.
It was a Morrissey badge that says, I like you. I thought, let's creep him out while I'm saying sorry.
A lot of people would have loved to be pushed up against the wall with you being furiously angry.
Yeah, he didn't mind that. It was me blowing him. He really hated. He was trying to top up his oyster.
So I had a long time to research this.
About Al Murray?
Yeah. How was it being in Angela's Ashes, the film movie?
I imagine it was great.
Yeah.
It was mainly filmed outdoors. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Is there someone famous in it? Yeah. That guy, Begbie. What's his name?
Robert Carlyle.
Yeah, Paul McCartney. That's what I heard. Paul McCartney's in it.
And that lady's in it, Angela.
I'm really delighted that the real Michael Legg, the actor Michael Legg...
There's an actor called Michael Legg.
The real one. He said no to this tonight. Because a lot of people come to my shows thinking I'm him and then they get disappointed. But I'm really, really happy that a lot of people have been writing to him on Twitter and telling him how unfunny they thought he was. Really nice.
But you've had to sign autographs as him for people. People think you are him.
Yeah. Even after an hour of watching me in a show and they're fans of him, they watch me and they go, God, he is an amazing actor. Look at him playing the part of that wheezing old man for an hour, screaming at nothing. And then they ask for an autograph.
Do you ever get mistaken for Michael Legg, the massage therapist in Hereford?
Yeah, quite often, and I have to sign autographs.
Do massages. Yes. I've just quickly read his website, and I think he used to be a chef, but then he became deaf, I think, or blind.
Whatever.
I can't remember. And now he does massage therapy.
Probably blind then. No? Yeah.
We can still do massage therapy.
Should we do
deaf?
Like a vote? You know, like you were doing with the chocolate. Yeah. Who thinks he's blind? Literally everyone ever unhappy about it. Yay! Stupid blind cunt. Yay! Who thinks he's deaf? Yay! Literally over here. That was weird.
Well, something to consider.
Something.
Sarah Pascoe was talking about you as a hero of hers on her podcast. So I thought I'd better get you in so people could understand who that was.
Yeah,
and then it would make them feel better about themselves when they saw you and thought, wow, Sarah Pascoe could.
Yeah, she aims very low.
But you are into veganism as well. And unlike Sarah Pascoe, you won't eat honey.
Now, does she eat honey?
Yeah, she loves it. She laps it up.
She's not vegan then, is she? Oh, I'm not going to close my eyes ever again. I regret everything I've just seen. Ah, God. Right. I'm almost to the point of tediously vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And definitely violently vegan.
And there aren't many violent vegans.
we don't punch, we throw paint at coats and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I suppose, that is an act of violence, but
it is an act.
What is it about animals that you like so much?
I think, or dislike
so much, maybe.
Well, yeah, I hate the taste of them.
Yeah,
I think they have a right cheek in them, thinking, we should bloody eat them. They're quite cute. Do you not think? Do you know? You've got an animal.
I've got two. I've got two little cats and a small baby that counts as an animal inside my wife's tummy.
I've decided to interview you at some point. I've got a question about that a bit later on. Well, I could ask it now.
Ask it now.
You're going to be a dad.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. I mean, it's sort of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that I'm going to be the role model of... Yeah. I've started talking to my baby through the eggshell of my wife's
right. What have you been,
stomach lining.
You've been podcasting your own child already.
I did. My wife seems to not really want that. I thought it would be quite cool to put out a podcast of its first crying.
Yeah. Well, you've got to play it at snooker immediately. Yeah, is your baby... Do you know what your baby is?
I do know what it is, but we're not letting anyone know, and I'm terrified that I will use a personal pronoun that will give it away.
Do you... Let's see if we can trip you up. How do you feel about your wife having another cock in her?
Well, after what Richard Osman said about my mum... It's not. It's a, you know, it's a three in a bed, isn't it? It counts as a three in a bed.
Yeah, but one of them's
your child. Well, it's all right.
What? Well, do you know what? Well done, you've beaten Stephen Fry.
It's you sort of worry about that, you know, about that.
Or fancying your child.
About if you're having sex with your wife and she's pregnant, you know, what does the baby get to see of that?
What? Kiss the baby. What do you. Do you think the baby might see a bit?
I've got quite a large penis for my body size. So I'm worried, you know. That's coming in. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, in case like the baby's lying there with mouth open.
I'm still going to find it funny. I discussed last week with Josh Whittaker, we discussed the fact that people, when they have babies... They start to find those kind of jokes not funny,
right?
And I think that says something about that kind of person. That means either they think before it was serious, or they have to have their own child in order to then get offended about the idea of child. You know, it says something weird about that person that you change your mind. So I'm going to find that still amusing. otherwise I fall into a net of hypocrisy. But I did bring up the idea of my cock being introduced into the scenario. So I'm still. 100% on message there. And I'm not. The good thing about me is I'm not a hypocrite.
No.
That is what you can say, but I will soon.
That was one of my questions. Are you a hypocrite?
I am. Well, yes and no. That's quite a good answer to that question.
That was actually very good.
Thank you.
Richard, well done.
It's a poor. They are not as good as last week's audience, by which I mean the audience we had last week rather than the last episode. I'm joking. Come on, let's all calm down. It's it's nice they can hear. It's 6 months old now in the womb, so it can hear what you're saying. And I'm hoping, I had a dream that it would come out being able to speak. And so I'm going to try and make that come to reality. So I think if I speak enough to it, it will be able to speak when it comes out.
Right. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks. It can recognise your voice if you speak to you.
Can recognise my voice?
Well, if you come and speak into my wife's stomach enough, it will recognise your voice once
I reckon born. You'll hate that. You'll hate every bit of me doing that.
I mean,
she'll hate it. I'll feel a bit awkward. This baby's getting a lot out of this deal.
I might play this podcast as over and over again.
So then you're sure at least someone's heard it.
Someone did tweet beforehand that if there's a pointless in the future of Richard Herring's guests on Richard Herring's Escapade podcast, you will be a pointless us.
I'm quite proud of that.
It's a good. It was a nice joke. So you've been upset. You've written a blog for your own things. It's appeared on Chortle.
Hit the heady heights of Chortle and Giggle Beats.
You write blogs every now and again, and win awards for them. But about the growth of sexism, and mainly sexism in comedy, but also sort of right-wing views in, amongst comedians. Is that fair?
Sort of, yeah, I think it's fair. And then comedians, there's certain comedians, not all, no, it's just a small, but, you know, large enough amount of comedians who disagree and seem to think, hey, you know, what, dapper laughs? It's only a joke. What's the problem? But it's horrible. And, it's gone all serious now.
We're doing a serious bit.
It's a serious bit. But sooner or later, surely, that, you remember that lovely alternative comedy wave of 1979?
I do.
Yeah, that sort of, like, we would have gone, ooh, comedy seems like an exciting thing. I think that might be stamped out completely. and obviously Dapper Laughs is going to, like, strangle Alexei Sale on stage for that person's amusement, by the sounds of things. I just think, yeah, there's clearly a rise in sexism in comedy, I think. And what's worrying is the amount of comedians who support comedians like Dapper Laughs, who basically just run up to women in the street and go, "You have breasts," ha ha ha, and then run away. Actually, it's not even that sophisticated, but it is that gruesome. And then, of course, we've got Charlie Drake 2000, Andrew Lawrence, who basically, I didn't think anyone was going to get that reference. I'm surprised one person sort of did. He's now saying that he does not support UKIP, and in doing so has said he supports UKIP. So it's all gone horrible. Remember, it used to be all left-wing and nice, but now it's all mean.
I mean, I suppose, it's good that there should be a spectrum of views within comedy. And I suppose the thing, people feel that comedy should be not constrained by political correctness, I suppose, is the thing. So it's like that it's just a joke.
It sort of should, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, life sort of should. I mean, that's the thing. It's really bizarre to hear comedians now say the phrase, you know, what, I hate PC. What's happening now? What, this is PC gone mad? Are you kidding me? You're going to be doing jokes about yuppies next. What era are you living in? This is the most dated phrase you could possibly... We shouldn't even be saying PC anymore. It should be the most dated phrase. We should have moved on, but no. People want to drag his arm back, and I guess what's been interesting, really, of the last couple of days, whenever Andrew... Do you know about the Andrew Lawrence thing? Does anyone know or care?
Do you know who Dapper Laughs is? No, see, like, a lot of people don't know...
Well, then that's delightful, and I will not explain who they are, because I don't want you to know, because you're clearly nice people.
I think it's sort of interesting, though, in the modern world, that it's quite hard for anyone to become famous enough, even for a room full of comedy fans, to know who Dapper Laughs or Andrew. I did a joke about Andrew Lawrence in my tour show, and I was quite surprised that it got like a big laugh. So, I mean, it's, you know, I think that maybe has come through a bit more, but I think most people...
There is a poster for Andrew Lawrence in the Loos here at the Leicester Square Theatre, and it's the poster is him with his head in a noose. And it says, Andrew Lawrence, reasons to kill yourself. Well, yeah. It's a shame. I really like him.
I think he was trying to begin with just to make a point about... if his point was, it's lazy just to go on and go, aren't you kip shit? Hooray! That's a good point. But he didn't phrase it exactly like that.
No, he didn't.
But I wonder whether that was his point, whether he was trying to say that it's just as hack, that there's a lot of liberal comedians certain liberal comedians who could just go on and do a crowd-pleasing thing.
Yeah.
I'm sort of doing my best to be an apologist for him.
Yeah, you're doing really
I'm doing quite well.
I'm in my mind blocking you on Twitter.
I'm pretty impressed with how well I'm doing. Yeah.
Do his PR. You're amazing.
I don't think this.
Someone should do his PR. Anyone.
Although, you know, I'm interested to see where it comes out of. He may not support UKIP, but UKIP are supporting him. I think when Nigel Farage comes out and gives you his seal of approval, that's probably a moment to go, oh, hold on. Because
Mensch tweeted me once, and that was the most disgusting moment. And you know how you never reply to, you're never mean to a person and at them in. I had to reply to her, seriously, never fucking retweet me again, you make me sick. I mean, it was don't, not you. And her, thank you, one person. Bunch of Nazis you have it. And it was very hurtful because, you know, her husband manages Metallica. It was very close to my heart.
No. And she's, you know, she's kind of like an evil Tory woman.
Yeah, she's like a heavy metal sort of basically logo.
Yeah.
You know, something frightening and terrifying. Metallica should have her basically on all album covers.
Okay.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah, go on. You ask me your question.
Okay, I've got a couple here.
I'm glad someone prepared some questions.
If you could interview anyone, would this podcast be better?
I'm trying to get... I've done 55 of them, so... Yeah. You know, I'm getting...
And four of them were with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, not, that's not even including the Edinburgh ones. I'm getting better at it.
If you could... I can't say statistician. Say I wasn't available tonight.
Yeah.
And you had everyone's phone number in the world. and they were all available. Yeah. I know you went straight to me.
Yeah. You were actually...
Please don't.
I tell you
For
what...
For the love of God,
should
seriously.
I tell you the order? Should I tell you the order?
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't.
I was in this room when I found out that Al was unable to come. Paul Chowdhury was sitting at the back of the room.
Oh, well, that doesn't doing, make me feel so bad.
Doing his tech for this thing. So I said to him, are you free?
Oh, you
are
did
Are you
that.
Free tonight? Just on the off chance. And he said, I've got to go. And he said, I'd like to do it, but I've got my laundry in at the laundrette near where I live.
Whoa.
And it's in the dryer, and if I don't go and get it before 9 o'clock, I won't be able to get my clothes back, and those are the only clothes I have.
It's a very glamorous world, the comedy world.
So then I said, well, I'll put you on hold. I'll see if I can get Richard Osman.
I think that's how Jason Manford got to host the Palladium gigs, because he was the only one free who wasn't doing laundry that night.
I did say to Paul Chadwick, it's not just that you're the first person I've seen in the room. Because I've also seen Craig and George from my crew.
Yeah.
Kinga from my crew. And then I looked at the old rope listings to see who was on there, because that's a Monday night.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So I tweeted Hal Cruttendon and asked him if he could do it, but he wasn't going to be here in time.
That's a shame. I would like to see him.
And then...
I was coming down, so... Yeah.
And then I thought... Someone else said Michael Legg. Went, yeah, I'll do.
Someone else said?
Yeah, someone else on Twitter said, about Michael Legg?
Was it me too? Or...
And I said, Michael Legg will probably be all right.
He's probably filming. Oh, that Michael Legg.
If you were on my new programme, Desert Island Dicks, in which you have to choose your 8 favourite Richards...
Oh, that's a shame. I was hoping it was going to be 8 favourite penises.
I know, that's why I took you one way and then I took
really
the other.
That was really good.
Which eight Richards would you take on a desert island with you?
Oh,
it's my
man.
New emergency question.
Yeah.
And it's really, the question is, can you name 8 people called Richard? Do you think it's easy?
Richard Clayderman, definitely.
Good.
Yeah.
And should we make it that you're not allowed to have any of the Richards who've already been on the island?
I don't want anyone's sloppy seconds on my island.
So it has to be, it'll get increasingly difficult for me to remember.
I don't want to know any Richard that's been near Osman.
Okay.
Oh, hang on, Richard Osman.
You can have Richard Osman because he wasn't one of the 8 Richards.
Right. Can I have Richard Herring?
No, I'm the luxury that you go. I'm the Bible / Shakespeare. Or Quran if you're a Muslim.
Krang. Okay. Are there any more Richards? I think we're pretty much run out. What's that?
Richard Bryars.
Richard Ashcroft, I wouldn't have on an island. He wouldn't survive long.
Don't help him.
Richard Attenborough. Has anyone said Richard Attenborough?
No, because he's already done it. Richard Osman. So
oh, really?
Had
he didn't say Richard Attenborough?
No.
I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't have said it unless someone shouted out Richard Attenborough. Like, probably the most famous man in Britain, and I couldn't remember his name.
He's dead as well.
No, he's not. Unless you've just killed him. Oh, are you waiting to put this
isn't
out
Richard
after he's
dead?
Yeah.
Richard Attenborough's dead.
David Attenborough. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I'm not that impressed now.
Yeah, from Jurassic Park.
I got my dicks Bryars and my days mixed
Bryars
up.
Is also dead. I think they have to be alive. Don't shout out.
Richard O'Brien's kind of good. That would be good. I really like Doc
giving
City.
Him a hand. The whole point of the question is can Michael Legg think of 8 original Richards?
Stop giving
not
me
Not can
hand.
Michael Legg and 200 people in an audience. Of course, 200 people with Google on are all Google Richards.
Oh, Richard Carlyle. Do you know who Richard Carlyle is? You don't, because he went to school with me. And he punched me in the face because I wouldn't shut up about saying his mum was a slag. Quite rightly, he punched me in the face.
Yeah, so you'd like to be on a desert island with him?
Yeah, to say sorry and make him, you
know. Would that be saying sorry to have him deserted on, well, on a desert island with you? When
I introduced him to Richard Osman. And of the corpse of Richard Attenborough. What more does Carlyle want?
I think it would be dangerous taking Richard Attenborough to an island where he's dead. You might take a baby's DNA.
Bag of DNA. Brilliant. That's amazing.
Okay. It might not be successful as some of the other emergency questions, but I like it. Desert Island Dicks. I'm going to do a little theme tune for it. Here's Desert Island Dicks. Desert Island Dicks. And not that kind of dick like you were thinking. It is the other kind of dick, the shortened name for Richard. Which riches would you take on a desert island? That is what they're asking. It's got to last half an hour, so don't say them too fast.
Due to rights reasons, we can't play all of these, Richards. Two fucking people.
They're a very hard audience to crack tonight.
I've got a question for you, okay. Richard. Hey, Richard, what was it like being a DJ and working alongside John Gaunt and Justin Lee Collins?
Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I didn't actually work alongside them. I did meet...
You were like the Tony Blackburn. I mean, you know, the guy that we're pretty sure didn't do anything to there.
Well, the truth is, I went in for that job. I've not ever told the truth about this, and I'm going to tell you, Michael.
Holy shit, I'm such a good interviewer. Yeah.
I went in for a meeting, and they said, we're trying to do this comedy station, it's going to be comedy, we want, like, there's a point possibly of me doing a daily show, and I said, well, it'd be brilliant to do something in England that was like, you know, Jon Stewart's show, which was properly satirical, that we did every day, or at least, it was all about doing... like really exciting, groundbreaking comedy, right? As we came in, and as we came in, that seemed to be the remit. They had other comedians were the other, if you count Peacock and Gamble, were the other hosts. And then once I started, I saw a list with Justin Lee Collins. I went, oh, what's that? And they go, oh, yeah, he's doing a show. And I was like, oh, okay, which I didn't know about. But A, I was contracted for 3 months. But B, I don't think that if you lived your life by the rules that you'll only appear on a radio station, you won't appear on a radio station where other people on that radio station have done anything wrong.
Yeah.
You wouldn't really be able to work on any radio station anywhere in the world. And I also think, you know, fair enough, he's been to, well, I don't know what, he's served his time, whatever happened for his crime. So it's not like he should never be allowed to work again. And I don't have to talk to him or approve of anything he's done. So I carried on doing my show. And then they started booking people like John Gaunt and people from Made in Essex or whatever it's called.
Then
I kind of went, I don't really want to be on this radio station anymore.
Right.
So then my 3 months was up. So I left.
I think the good thing is about you doing FUBAR before you've done anything deeply questionable, is that you could probably do that now.
Yeah.
You could probably go off and commit a crime. Heinous, violent crime. It's fine. Well, I've done FUBAR.
Yeah. I've done the worst thing I'm ever going to do. It was... it didn't quite live up to what I thought it was going to be. They sort of changed the remit of this whole station halfway through to be a sort of shock jock thing. But then John Gaunt got sacked or he walked off or whatever. Got sacked. I don't know what the details are. All I know is when I went on holiday, John Gaunt had tweeted me about my play not being very successful.
In a sort of a chin up, Richard.
No.
With you all the way.
In a ha ha ha. He's getting his fans to pay for his play. And because I was on holiday, I didn't reply. But if you're listening, John Gaunt, I'm not doing that. I'm paying for the play.
Just waiting for his. There he is. He replied in clapping form.
John Gaunt was the man. I thought, I don't want to be on a radio station with John Gaunt because he's a horrible person.
Yeah.
And we used to take the piss out of him in my Bollings and Herring podcast. Oh no, that was you.
Collins
and Herring podcast.
Oh yeah. Do you know what I was thinking about that? I tweeted the world, I guess, or a very small part of it, saying, do you know, it'd be nice for Christmas if Collins and Heron came back and Precious Little came back and the Trap Sword cast came back and the Gentleman's Review, and in a small way, a ridiculous amount of very lonely people going, that would make us so happy. So now you two have to get back.
Okay. Andrew doesn't.
And listen to that massive cheer you got of huge support for bringing back Collins
Andrew
and Heron.
Andrew doesn't want to do it anymore.
Doesn't he?
No, I was happy to
do it. Well, he's busy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's busy. He's script editing battles.
He does the Radio Times, gives film reviews, does the Guardian TV. He's doing very well.
Yeah.
He's a very nice
man. He should do the warm-up for this.
He should. If you had to choose between dating a man who was a 6-foot penis, 6-foot tall penis,
right,
or a man who instead, it's got a face on his penis, that I should say. The 6-foot tall man has got a penis face.
I mean, if he's a penis.
But he is otherwise a penis.
Yeah.
He's got his blowholes on the top.
His blowhole?
His external meatus, his herring's eye is on the top.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, he's a penis.
Yeah,
but he's 6 foot tall. Or a man who, instead of having a penis, has a tiny man who is like a separate personality to him and has different life goals and very different opinions.
Oh, do they argue?
Maybe they do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one. Maybe the man is like you and the penis is Andrew Lawrence. They don't get on. It's the original.
Do you know what
couple.
I'd be worried about? I'd be worried about what we have in common. That's what I'd be worried about. Here's the thing we have to think about. This man who has a little man for a penis, or a penis that is a little man, whatever you want to say. Is the little man penis, is it facing him or is it facing away?
It's facing him.
Oh, Jesus, that poor guy.
Otherwise, he'd be looking down at his bum all the time, and he'd be folding over, looking, going, oh, and he'd be folding up someone's bum, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but I'm
the other way up, he's folded, he's curled up that way.
Well, but what about when he's masturbating and that poor guy has to look at him?
You don't know.
When
you're. But when you're masturbating, do you look at your... You don't look at your own penis.
I draw a little face with a wink.
Well, I'm masturbating, generally, from what I remember before when I was a single man.
You're wanking now, for God's sake.
I would never look at my own penis because that would put me off the... put me off.
Because you know all the horrible things it knows.
So I would never get eye contact. If my penis had a face, I wouldn't have eye contact with it. I think if my penis had a face, I don't think it'd be looking up at me as I was doing that. If anything, you're closing your eyes, wouldn't you, to avoid the hand coming there. So there's no eye contact.
Is he going to survive when a condom goes on?
I think it may be, that a condom may not be. You might have to prick a couple of holes in the condom just so he can breathe, like it when you take your rabbit on
And that's how you got yourself into this incredible mess that you tied yourself in.
I think it would be unpleasant, as much as it would sound to be a wonderful thing to be enveloped in a massive vagina or anus or mouth. I think that would probably be quite an unpleasant thing to happen. If a big mouth now came in and enveloped you, I think you would find that unpleasant.
I think
if a big vagina came in, you'd think, oh, a big vagina, this is interesting. Oh, no, I'm inside it. I'm a bit uncomfortable and claustrophobic. And if a big anus came down... and you were inside the anus, I think that would be the worst of the three... ironically, I think that's the best of the three for me. Yeah. But if it was me inside it, suddenly my views would change.
It's like that film, isn't it? Inner Space or whatever.
It's a bit like the film...
Dennis Quaid is injected into an anus or something.
It's a bit like the film Sliding Doors.
Yeah. with Gwyneth Paltrow's and checked it into an anus.
Well, the sliding doors of the anus or vagina, yeah. They are. They're sliding into...
sliding back doors.
We got there. We got there.
Workshop!
So which of the two would you prefer with all that?
Well, I suppose the positive about going on a date with a man who is a 6 foot penis, yeah, is that if, like, you got on and then your friends met him and then eventually he let you down, it wouldn't be the obvious, oh, God, he's a dick, because they couldn't say that, because they're like, well, no, he's a 6 foot dick. So they would have to come up with some more interesting phrases. Oh, he was a... tool, that's not right. Oh, God damn it. They just have to work a bit harder in describing how useless he was.
Yeah. It's nice that that's what you think about when you're going on a first date. How are my friends going to describe this person when we inevitably break up?
What, do you think it's going to go any further than that?
I don't know, might do. Don't judge a 6 foot penis by the fact they're a 6 foot penis.
I've got all my details on matchforacoupleofweeks.com.
If you were dying, sadly, what celebrity would you like to stroke your hair as you died?
Well, if I was dying sadly, yeah, it would be someone like Tony Arthur. From Play
Away.
Just because then that would be very comforting, wouldn't it? It would be really comforting. But if I was dying happily...
Yeah.
You wouldn't... Well, I might die happily.
You wouldn't need someone to stroke your hair if you're happy.
Maybe that's how I'm dying.
Okay.
That's why I'm happy.
Okay. So Tony Arthur wouldn't make you happy?
Oh, no, just be very comforting while I'm sad. I once did a gig in front of Tony Arthur from Play Away.
The way you say that makes it sound like it wasn't a gig. It's just you jumped into a lounge naked and started doing a gig in front of her. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
What was it, pretty much?
And I charged her.
Yeah.
She hated that the most. I walked out and said, and there she was in the front row, and I couldn't swear. I just couldn't swear in front of Tony Arthur, so I had nothing to say. Bit like tonight.
Do you know who Tony Arthur is? Very few people.
Yeah, but you clearly fucking hate her.
I love Tony Arthur. She used to live around the corner from me in Clapham.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just bump into her in the street sometimes.
Andrew Sex used to live around the corner from me.
Did he?
Yeah. Who did you used to live around the corner from? Ron Moody used to live next door to me. I've sent him Christmas cards 3 years in a row. Not one from him.
Lionel Bart used to live in above a off licence near to me, so we could get the two of them together.
Oh, that would have been brilliant.
Yeah, most people in this audience have no idea what we're talking about.
Do you know what? I reckon that what's his name? Badil and the really handsome guy,
Robert Newman.
Yeah, they've.
It's sad for Frank Skinner, isn't it? Don't you think
Frank Skinner thinks he's handsome? It drives me nuts. Every time you see Frank Skinner these days, he's always like, stop it, you're not going to get the Bond gig. Fuck off. Anyway,
Someone's a bit jealous about Doctor Who.
Oh, that episode was really good. Anyway, I think they're now, Newman and Badil, built a time machine. They're looking at us now and go, I thought of two characters that we should do on our show in the 90s of two sad old men talking about things that no one understands. And then talking about, that's your mum.
That's what I like about this podcast. It's eclectic. And have you ever seen...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The ghost.
No, my mum was. My mum swears blind that she was driven to church once by God. Yeah. Yeah. No, thing is, what I find very interesting about this is in my hometown of Newton Orange, you'd never get a taxi because they're always run by paramilitaries and you don't know which paramilitary. I mean, you don't want to give money to any paramilitary, but which side is God on that he's going to give a taxi ride to my mum? You know, it's. Well, no, she swears by it that she's.
Well, did he say he was God or did
yeah,
she just.
Yeah, he said he was God. Yeah. And my mum said, well, God, I'm very tired. I can't go to church. And go, no, Colette, we're going to go to church. Oh, God. All right, then. I mean, thanks for making everything. It's really nice. Most of it's really nice. And then whenever God dropped her off at church, she went into the church, and there was only one woman in the church, and it was some Catholic festival of depression. And where there always had to be one miserable old fuck in the church. And the woman saw my mum and went, oh, thank goodness you're here. I've been here for 4 hours waiting for another person. It's like tag misery in Catholicism. And my mum tagged her out. And I don't know, she was there for a month or something.
Do you think it's irresponsible of God not to just come down and settle the Northern Ireland Catholic versus Protestant question once for all?
Yeah.
He could just come down and say, couldn't he?
Yeah.
But it would be now, he's left it so late, it would be quite embarrassing. Because then half the people are going to be quite pissed off with him.
He's basically doing what you do on a bigger scale. Like he's basically making a podcast playing snooker with himself. He doesn't know who's going to win. Yeah. He doesn't really care, he's just fucking about.
Yeah.
While his wife thinks he's having a breakdown. Can I have a baby so I have someone to talk to? Well, all right.
She really doesn't like the snooker podcast.
No, I know. I've only listened to it once and I can't listen to it. I can't. And I love everything you do. I can't listen to it. It's too
best
scary.
Thing.
It's not.
It
it's not. It's like you've...
That man's got a T-shirt of it. What better advert could there be for how good it is? A man has bought a T-shirt of it, so it must be good,
did
right?
Did you buy a T-shirt? Did you make it? You bought it.
Well, you can buy those online.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
We sold one of them.
That's
worth a lot of money, that
podcast. You should sell.
It's worth a lot of money, that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great experiment.
There's the latest episode. I'm going to do another one this week, because I haven't done it for a while.
Yeah. Because we're dying to find out what happens next.
Yeah. The last one, though, my wife came home unexpectedly and found me doing it. And then she came downstairs and she said, oh, she was with her friend and their friend's daughter, and they wanted to come down and watch Frozen. And I was in the TV room. And she came down the stairs and she said, are you playing snooker? And if you, I think I haven't listened back to it, but I think people would listen to it and just assume we set that up, and she'd come down, and I said, just sound as pissed off as you must. Sound as if you're really pissed off and you think I'm mentally ill. And they thought, actually, a really good job of make it, but it's Jen, that really happened. And I hear the door and I go, because they told me they were going to the park, but they were actually just going to Shepherd's Bush Green, which is not the park.
But you know,
the park's
now,
miles away, so I thought I had loads of time.
But you know now what this podcast is, your actual podcast, Richard and Leicester Square Theatre podcast, has now become. It's the after podcast. it's like the Game of Thrones post show show on telly. It's where we discuss me one person.
Yeah, we
meeting.
Should have one of those.
Oh yeah, but it's just you disagreeing with yourself.
Yeah. But my wife thinks it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And embarrassing and the worst thing I've done.
Yeah.
I think it's quite good. I genuinely think it's the best thing I've done. But you've only listened to one, so you know, how would you know?
It's like The Wire. I just couldn't get into it after that one. I didn't understand the references, the culture. Didn't get it. No. I don't understand you and your drugs.
This is an emergency question. I actually misread it. I'm going to ask you the misreading. I don't think I've ever asked it. Do you have a favourite tower? I think that's quite a good emergency question.
That is a really good emergency question. I quite like Scrabble Tower. Okay. Doesn't get enough press, Scrabble Tower.
A couple of fans of Scrabble Tower.
I'm just going to leave that there. Okay. Scrabble Tower is a tower in my hometown of Newton Arnotts.
Okay.
Newton Arnotts is the name of a place and not it's just Newton a mumble.
Newton Irons.
No, it's Newton Arnotts here.
Okay.
When you're
it sounds
Newton
like
Arnotts
someone taking the piss out of the idea of Northern Ireland. I thought that's what you were saying. I'm from Nunny.
Well, that's
Nunny. That's my that's Northern Irish accent there.
And somehow those peace talks just break down.
My birthday is July the 12th.
I know, you cunt.
My favourite colour is orange. And I like having stones thrown at me over a big wall.
When you die, my mum will piss on your grave.
I can't help when I was born, all my favourite colour.
Well, you could change it. You know, you could be like Russell Kane and change your date of birth.
He's 34, it says so on Wikipedia. Though it does then say citation needed after. He can't be that much older than that, can he? Let me ask you a very good question about that being Michael Legg. I asked you all the Al Murray questions backstage, so we can't do that. It's filled up a bit more of the book, which is good. You do a show called Pointless Anger. Should have got you on with old
Robin
Richard
Nitz.
Osman from Pointless Anger.
Oh, yeah. Should have.
How do you backstage, when you met Richard Osman, mm-hmm. you sort of said, oh, nice to meet you, as if you'd never met before, but that if you had some connection...
Well,
some kind.
You know, everyone knows one another on Twitter, don't
they? So you've been talking to on Twitter?
Talking on Twitter.
What have you been talking about on Twitter?
I said, it was really brilliant the way you did that on Pointless the other day, Richard. It was really good. I like the way you guys looked at one another and smiled. Why don't you just fuck? That's basically what I did.
Okay.
I wrote a very long blog once about those two, and I think they should just bang.
Yeah.
They should just get it the hell over with.
Be nice.
No one agrees.
There's no way known that they haven't. A lot of people agree because I've been to Dirty Britcom Confessions and a lot of people
really?
Want to see it. Yeah. A lot of people want to see that. Yeah. So how is working with Robin Ince and doing Pointless Anger? What's that all about?
It's always, always, always great to work with Robin and then shit. There's always one day where we really fall out.
Right.
Yeah. There was a really great day in Edinburgh during the Fringe in August. Where we completely fell out, and the next day he bought me 4 presents. I felt like Tina Turner. I was like, oh god, no, I'm not coming back to you, Ike. Come on, baby, come on back to Ike. No, Ike, I'm not coming back. But he wooed me back.
Oh.
It's fun though.
You just get angry. Is it literally things you've been angry about?
It's
on that day, or
on the way to the gig. during the gig, things that have happened during the gig. We ask people what they're angry about, and generally we agree with them, unless it's something like, well, tell you what, I don't want to go, what's happening in the Premier League at the moment? Mm. We don't know what that means. As soon as sport comes up, we go, no, we can't help it. But generally, everyone in the room is angry, and we're angry, and it's a lovely... Well,
that kind of thing,
that cricket says all we need to know. Once you bring up the topic of Robin Ince, the interest fucking wanes.
It's a fantastic heckle.
Really good heckle.
If you can make a sort of tumbleweed.
Do you know what?
Effect.
Yeah. This is so boring, I'd rather drag Louisiana to the gig. Wow, that was pretty amazing.
It was. The other day I got angry about a man playing his music on his phone. I talked about this in the other podcast, but like in a train. So he's playing his music out the speakers on his phone, which happens quite a lot with kids.
Yes.
But then not so often with grown-ups.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of an odd thing to do, and it puts everyone in a very frightening position, because you think he's only doing that in order that someone will say, can you not do that, and then he'll punch them in the face.
Yeah, I often... and listen, don't do this. But I often, if someone is doing that, I sit beside them and go, that is amazing. Who is it? And I ask, can you tape that for me? Can you send me a tape? I'll give you mine. Can you send me a tape of that? Who is that? What else have they done? And then I sing along. I've also, whenever someone's did it, I started reading out my book aloud at them. Yeah. It's fun.
And have you been assaulted as a result of any of these?
No, I think the closest I came to, I thought I was going to get hit, was a man. He was opening up a carton of Ribena. He was a huge guy, and he was drinking Ribena, right? And he took, you know, the little straw that stuck to the side of the Ribena. Yep. He took the wrapper off the straw and then threw the wrapper on the ground while we were on the train. And I just looked at him and went, really? Just going to drop that there? And he was a big man. A big man with Ribena. I don't think he was tooth kind. So I said, really? You're just going to leave that there? And he went, what the fuck's it got to do with you? And I went, well, you know what? There's a bin over there. You could have just put it in the bin. And I went, you want to fuck you. I'm not going to put it in the fucking bin. Do whatever the fuck I want. And then I just went, of course you'll do whatever the fuck you want. You're a fucking idiot. Then his girlfriend laughed. That made him really... Yeah. That made him really angry. And that's when he turned to me and went, go away or I will punch your fucking head in. And it is the most... It's the scariest, most threatening non-threat of all time. I thought he was really going to punch me. But I must have told you that story about someone playing music really loudly on a train. Right. And I asked her to turn it down. She was probably about 18 years old, and she was listening to music just coming out of her phone. And it was on the train, and she was in a wheelchair. And I asked her to turn the music down, to which she replied, no, like that. And then, yeah. In that teenage way that all teenagers have every right to have. They're teenagers. No. So then I stood up, walked over to him, went, well, you've been really rude. I don't want to hear your music. No one wants to hear your music, so please turn that off. Please turn it off now. Then this incredibly large man stood and went, leave her the fuck alone, step away, leave it alone. And I just went, what? I think she can speak for herself. Who the hell are you? Who the hell are you? Are you her lawyer? And he said, no, I'm her care assistant. All right. Now I'm the villain. Okay. So he was big and I sat down. But you know that I have to be a coward now because I'm going to get my head kicked in. But you know that moment once you sit down and then everything bubbles up. And you go, no, no, no. Oh, God, I'm so Michael Douglas right now. I've got to blow the fucking heads up. And that's when I got my phone out. Took the earphones out, pressed play, and then pointed the phone right at her. Turned up the volume as loud as it could go, and people were standing up and just, leave her alone. I'm like, no, I will switch it off when she switches it off. You go, leave her alone. She's in a wheelchair. What are you talking about? How dare you? Look at you. You all you see is the disability. I see a dick. And I just went, no, just blast it. And people got, sit down, you'd stop it, somebody. And eventually I had to sort of cower and switch it off. But you'll be delighted to know, if I have not told you this before, I was listening to the Collins and Heron podcast.
That's probably what made people very angry, though.
Yeah. Not so much. Yeah. We like answer me this! Yeah. Sit down!
It's just brought a man shouting, bumming, bum, 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 bumming! Yeah. And you're pointing that at disabled.
Yeah. Right in their face, your mum's a fucking idiot. Yeah.
Oh, that's very good. I think you're very brave to do it. I don't get as angry. I mean, I get angry, but I don't. It doesn't come out in the same way. Maybe it'll just all come out at once at some point.
Someone recently, it was in January, in fact, someone threatened me on a plane. he said I was rude. I wasn't rude. I was just walking. And he went, "Yeah, you just walked in my way." And I went, "I actually didn't. You were way ahead of me, and then you pushed into me. It was you that pushed into me." And he went, "Shut up." And I went, "No." And he went, "You better shut up or I'll punch your face in." I'm like, "No, you won't." It's a really weird response there. He's like, "No, you won't." "No, you won't." And he went, "What?" He hadn't thought about, "No, you won't." Because I was right. He wasn't going to. I went, "No, you won't." He went, "What do you mean?" He went, "We're in an airport. You're fucked, mate. You punch me. I mean, you're fucked." All I'm saying is, pick your place.
I did. I used to have a temper, and I sometimes got into like arguments. I got into an argument with a guy, similar thing over that, with like a tube. So I was standing waiting for a tube, and then the tube door kind of was slightly further over than the guy had anticipated, and so he moved to come in and got in my way, and we sort of jostled, and then we argued about who had got in each other's way, and had a bit of a shout, and I called him a cunt, I think. But then you're in a tube with it. You're then standing in a tube sort of quite near each other for another 10 minutes, so you just have to sort of go,
and I had a brilliant moment on the tube of feeling awkward. I was on my way to a gig, it's just a few months ago, I was on my way to a gig and I was utterly depressed because I had to go away for a weekend, like 2 days of my life, and I was depressed about it. And I had to go through, like, you know, all the going, you know, down into the tube station, and then I had to get to another tube station, and then I had to get to a train station, and then I had to get to a train and go to, I don't know, wherever it was, in the middle of nowhere for a weekend. I was like depressed. It was really sad and there. And when I was waiting for the tube, and the doors opened for the tube, and in there was Margaret K. Warren Smith, who's a friend of ours, and I love Margaret to pieces. She's fantastic. I was so happy to see Margaret, and even more happy whenever I saw her with her finger right up her nose, picking away. And I went, "Ah!" I ran over to her and went, "Get that out of there!" And whacked her in the hand and really laughed hard, and then looked up, and it wasn't Margaret. And my response wasn't, "Sorry." I was in hysterics of laughter. Because it was the closest to an out-of-body experience I'll ever get. I saw me do it, and I was going, "Ha! You dick!" And I heard the doors close. It's like, I just hit a woman. And now I have to stand here beside her. Luckily, she was very understanding. She started to laugh because she saw me breaking down in front of her. So, oh, that's nice. This man's having a breakdown, so... Obviously, I've seen Margaret since, and I have hit her. Balance.
So, let me ask you this question now. It's going quite... It's picked up a bit. It's going... started badly, and now it's going all right.
Yeah, no, but definitely reference it.
But I think, because it just took a long time for people... People were just furious at the beginning that you weren't Al Murray. And it's amazing that you've managed to pull that back.
Well, my right-wing material about hitting women, really...
Well, I'm looking at the wrong side. That's why it was taking me so long. I was thinking, what's all this Jesus I have promised rubbish? Do you have any unusual phobias?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see. What?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's unusual. I'm terrified of the sea.
The sea?
Terrified of it. My parents took me to see Jaws when I was six. Yeah. Which probably means nothing to you because you're very young. But I am very old. And when Jaws came out, I was 6. And I went to see it with my parents. And I freaked out. Quite rightly. So I've been terrified. And apparently there's lots of men my age who are terrified of the sea.
Right.
And I've believe it or not, I've had relationships. Shall we end it there? and my partners have said to me, like, we should go on holiday. I'm going to cure you of this phobia. Nope. It just ends in screaming. I was in a pedalo shaped like a swan with a girlfriend screaming, you fucking bitch, get me back to the beach.
How about if you're on water, like on a river? Is that
fine,
okay?
Fine. There was no, like, the saline for the trout.
Is it the saline element that's the extra?
No, I'll be honest with you. It's the big great the white shark killing me.
Yeah, but there aren't any of those in, like, Western Supermare.
Oh, God! Listen to you. Why do people do that? There's no shark. What? There's not one lost shark.
No.
And you know the other thing is? Dolphins don't harm any. What? There's not one dolphin that has gone, fuck this shit. I'm going to kick someone's ass. I went in a little boat once, and I was with a girlfriend. I went in a boat in Florida. So oh, you're going to like it, dear. You know, it's really nice. I'm like, well, you know about my phobia. Yeah, it's fine here. I was like, And then I just saw this fin pop out and into the water. I went, shit! Don't worry, it's just a dolphin. And I started killing her. With an oar. It's a lovely day out.
Nice. So you can't go, if you just wanted to go on holiday and sit on a beach, would you be terrified of the sea lapping? So if you're in the sea.
I've been on some of the most beautiful beaches in the world and not set foot in the sea.
But you know, like a shark could jump out of the sea onto the beach and eat you there.
Yeah, but that's how brave I am. I'm willing to take that risk. Okay. Have you got a phobia?
No, not afraid of anything.
Really?
Yeah.
What about dinosaurs?
Oh, I'll tell you what I am. I'll tell you I do have a phobia.
Yeah?
Polystyrene.
Oh, right, yeah.
Don't like polystyrene being rubbed against
Did
each
you
other.
Go to see a film about polystyrene when you were 6? Yeah.
I went to see Jaws, and I realised the shark was made out of polystyrene. But it's mainly the sound. And once the journalist, Tracy McLeod, who I was working with, who's quite serious, she was on Newsnight and stuff, she, knowing of my phobia, hid behind a car with 2 pieces of polystyrene and then jumped out going... Which, yeah, I thought was irresponsible of her. And like, but it makes me so angry that I kind of slightly lose control of myself as well. Sorry, like, yeah. Like sort of like the Incredible Hulk, but with polystyrene, and just be going, don't do that. Yeah. Ah. So that much like the Incredible
Hulk. You wouldn't like me when I cringe a bit.
Don't like that. It's a nasty sound. So don't use that knowledge against me.
Nope.
Like Tracy McLeod did, or any of the people listening, because I will punch you in the face like a Michael Legg. It's the only thing that gets me. What is the closest you have come, apart from tonight, to dying?
Well, this exact second.
Yeah. Because, yeah, okay. Yeah.
This exact second is the closest I've come to telling.
So far, now this one.
And now this one.
It's a good answer. Yeah. Have you ever had a near-death experience? I'll rephrase it.
Probably had billions, though, haven't we, that we haven't noticed?
Yeah.
Like, you know, probably like a car nearly hit us or something. Or like, who knows what's happened outside there? Yeah. We don't know what's going on. Could be the zombie apocalypse. Maybe we are the near-death experience.
Maybe we are. Do you think if there was a zombie apocalypse, outside, and this were the only unaffected people, and we had to repopulate the world with these people, do you think it'd be worth bothering?
He's got his Me Too t-shirt on. If you had your Me One t-shirt on, that might be worth it.
I don't think there'd be much competition for who would be mating. That's the good... I mean, it's the one afterlife scenario, after a zombie apocalypse yeah. scenario, where you and me might have a chance of actually impregnating some women.
I think you have had the chance to impregnate a woman. Have you forgotten?
Not in a zombie apocalypse.
Though. Oh, that's true, yeah.
If we had to create the human race from this, I reckon I'd be in with a good shot of being the bloke in the survivors who decides he's going to have sex with the women, as I was talking about with Mark Gatiss the other week, as you'll know. So I know you're a big fan of the podcast.
I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
What I'm saying is there's a lot of ugly men in the room. That's what I'm going for.
There's also a lot of attractive women here who wanted to meet Al Murray.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, not as many as I thought.
Al Murray has one thing. Stouffer's got more things on Britcom Media Confessions than Al Murray.
Stouffer?
The Stouffer, the cat from Harry Hill.
What about those two crows you've got from Fist of Fun?
I haven't looked them up, actually. No? Someone should do them. I think Pliny is quite sexy.
Do you?
Yeah. Not Stuart Lee, Pliny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because of his devil-may-care attitude. I watched one.
Oh, he has got an attitude, hasn't
he? You know, but he's sort of like very persistently yeah. about doing his crow puns.
Yeah.
And there's one I'd forgotten about that someone forwarded me the other day, where the Histor, the man running Histor,
yeah.
me...
That guy.
The character I was playing gets annoyed with Pliny and goes off, and then Pliny does a really good, like, proper history lesson with real politics in it, and then Histor comes back and says, "All right, I'll give you one more chance," and then Pliny starts doing egg yeah. puns again. And I quite like that about Pliny, that he's
yeah, he has.
That he's underneath it all. He's the clever one of the two.
Yeah,
but he
it's
just
very subtle, that isn't
yeah,
it?
He decides.
Very subtle. That's not at all the way a lot of other double X work.
They aren't crows, though, are they?
Except for me and Robin Itz. I've said yeah. we're the totally unique double act. You know, the double act, one thinks they're smart and the other one's, he thinks the other one's stupid, but yeah. actually it's the stupid one's smart. I am thick and he is actually very clever. But, yeah. well, no, I mean, book clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hasn't a fucking clue about life or conversation.
If Intellectuals and Idiots became a real program, you'd be on the Idiots team and he'd be on the Intellectuals team.
Yeah.
And then we would discover who was best in a zombie apocalypse. That's how it would work. It's a great idea. Richard Osman's a prick. Just, he was shooting down all of my ideas. He wasn't even listening to them properly.
Wow. Just I hate him.
He just decided he was going to have a go at me. That's all that happened.
He had that Kelvin McKenzie on his telly show.
He did, yeah. He was embarrassed about it, though.
Yeah, I don't think he was embarrassed enough. I think he's worse than Andrew Lawrence.
He tweeted people. The thing is, they genuinely don't know that you're going to who's the guests are.
Because Al Murray dropped out.
Well, that's different. Oh, because Al Murray dropped out of this.
I don't know. Let's not confuse us.
He wouldn't be on with. He wouldn't be on with Al Murray. So no. Al Murray's a really nice guy.
He's a lovely man.
In many ways, I wish I was talking to him now.
I've got his number. Do you want me to ring him?
Yeah, let's give him a ring. See how things are getting on. He's probably not in the mood to talk just at the moment. If... were you ever rude to a celebrity as a child? In a cocky, unpleasant way, like I was to Ted Rogers.
Do you know what? As a child, I was obsessed. I don't know why this has popped into my head. I've never thought about this in years. I just was obsessed with phoning up local celebrities. Like, how fucking weird is that? I used to phone up, like, news readers from Ulster TV and speak to them. I was like, I was almost forcing, like, the Operation U-Tree on them. Never see it from the other way around, do you? Little prick tease I was. Falling up WD Flax. No one.
WD Flax.
Yeah, he was a newsreader.
Cartoon newsreaders. Here I am.
Yeah.
WD Flax. Yeah. I'm a massive...
That's
puffin.
That's exactly what he sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
What have you been rude to? I was rude to the man who was the little kid's dad in George and Mildred.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because I went up to him, and my mum just said, "Look, it's him from George and Mildred." And I went up and went, "Can I have your autograph?" And he went, "Oh, yeah." And I went, "Oh, no." Because I thought it was George. And then I looked at him and went, "No, I don't care about you. You're often quite rude in the programme." Whereas George is a very nice man.
You should look, check out, there's a brilliant Saturday Night Live sketch where they've got Robert De Niro and they've got a little, one of the cast is playing a little kid going to the set of Meet the Fockers, and he goes, this is the makeup guy from Meet the, what, the actual one, the real one, oh, this is the camera, what, no, the real camera. And then Robert De Niro comes in, he's, the kid's just going, yeah, and he goes, this is Robert De Niro, yeah, hi. He does. Robert De Niro. It's very good. You've got to watch it. It's a little Google recommend. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then he says, "This is my script assistant. He helps me choose the scripts." And then the kid goes, "Where was he on Analyze That?" It's really. I bet to front out to Robert De Niro and actually do it.
Yeah,
it's fucking very good.
I still think fronting out to that man from George and Mildred, who was George, good. It's pretty,
and that was
face.
Real. I've just thought of one that I was rude to. Do you remember Murphy's Mob? Who remembers Murphy's Mob? Everywhere you go, everything you see, someone's. It's the Google whack.
Yeah.
But one. No, in fact, nobody. Does anyone remember Murphy's Mob? Yeah, okay, it's not them. Join me. Everywhere you go, everything you see, someone say you know, it's a tragedy. Find another place, because you can't play here. Me and Phil Fry could never work out what the next line was. We thought it was spreading all your nits about, but I don't think it was that. I think it was, we don't want any kids around here. Because you know it's going to be a fucking... How does Peter Kay do this? And then the audience are going nuts. It's going to be all right. It was sung by Gary Hold, not Gary, who was in Auf Wiedersehen, Pet, and who died.
Oh, yeah, and he died.
Yeah, but he sang the theme tune, I think.
Yeah.
And then in that show was a character called, who remembers Wurzel? from Murphy's Mob. Anyone?
Oh, fucking
there was And when I went on Camp America, and we were in the bus in New York, Wurzel from Murphy's Mob was there as well in front. And
brilliant.
Then I went, hey, Wanker! But I was really impressed, really, as with all the celebrities I took the piss out of. But then he was actually, he was at university with me as well, and I met him at university as well, and then but he didn't remember me from the bus. I never told him it was me going, hey.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Wanker, Murphy's Mob, Wanker. Really? No one remembers worse.
No one in this room remembers being called Wanker by him.
He was called Lewis 70s. Stevens, I think, because there was already someone called Stephen Lewis from On the Buses, right? Come on, what's going on? That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to do that. I can't believe what's happened to this audience. They used to be like the Borg, one mind that you could say anything to them, they'd know the answer to everything. And then this show's become successful and commercial.
Yeah.
And then the wrong kind of audience are coming along. You talk about Wurzel from Murphy's Mob, and they look at you like you've gone insane and invented a children's television programme. And when you're in New York, you were shouting at an empty seat with this mop on it or something.
We did not get Murphy's Mob in Northern Ireland.
Man, it was great.
We were busy being in Murphy's Mob.
I tell you how the theme tune went. Everywhere you go, everything you see. It was about a mob. Murphy was the head of the mob.
Yeah, right.
I think it's something to do with football. Is that right?
Yeah.
More and more people are remembering it now. That's the problem with most observational comedians who do this nostalgia stuff.
Yeah.
Is they go for the too easy stuff.
Really,
that everyone knows straight away. But if you really mine away at something that no one's got, eventually everyone remembers it. I think if I do this for another hour, everyone will say they remember Murphy's Mob and will sing that song along with me just to stop it. I'm going to keep singing it until everybody... Everywhere you go, everything you see, someone's saying no, it's a tragedy. It's quite punky, isn't it? That song.
Do you know what? Last night, me and a friend burst into... do you remember the piece of music that came on whenever ITV came back after the strike? You were talking about the strike earlier.
I was.
Made me go, oh, fucking hell, we were talking about that last night. We both just went, welcome, welcome, welcome home to ITV.
Well, yeah.
No one should know that. There shouldn't be two people on this planet that should remember that.
I'd forgotten it, but now I remember it.
Oh, there you go. It's great, isn't it?
It is.
Now, the thing is, I haven't been that rude as a child. I was actually quite a rude adult, but I was quite a nice child. But it's one of my proudest moments. It was three separate moments, really. But I have been told to fuck off by all three members of REM. I actually can go one further. I've been told to fuck off by two of REM, but I've been told to fuck off, motherfucker,
wow,
by another one. Mike Mills, you wouldn't have thought that.
Really? He was the one who gave...
Yeah.
Tough time.
Yeah, and he was the one I was being nice to. The other two, I admit, well, I was being a bit of a drunken cunt to. But I was being nice to him, and he went, fuck off, motherfucker.
How was your night? Because I think what you think is nice,
yeah,
might not be that nice. Like, you know, do you think it's nice to hold up your phone to a woman in a wheelchair until she turns off her phone?
I just said, look, was it like that? You know, I just said, look, I've made this dead sheep look like you. No, I just said, hey, you're very good at playing the bass and I like REM. To which he replied, fuck off, motherfucker.
Yeah. Fair enough. And what did you do to the other two? Michael Stipe and the other one?
I went up to Peter Buck at a gig, at a Soft Boys gig. You know the Soft Boys? We all know the Soft Boys.
Do you remember Murphy's Mob?
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, everything you see. Yeah.
By the Soft Boys, that was one of their songs. And I kept going, you should go up and play with them, mate. You should go up and go, yeah. No, you should. You fucking should. Should. Peter, do it! Do it! And then eventually went, fuck off! And I
did, as I
was told.
Yeah.
But the other time, I was out having a romantic Valentine's meal. And I was trying to be romantic with my romantic partner. I was saying a romantic thing, and in the middle of this romantic thing, I saw Michael Stipe sitting on his own in this restaurant. I went, fucking hell, it's Michael Stipe! To which he got up and left and went, fuck off. Just left.
Good. Leave Michael Stipe alone when he's eating
alone
in the restaurant.
Well, I was very happy to see Michael Stipe. Really? Really?
I saw Kevin from Egghead eating alone in a Pizza Express.
Oh, seriously. I saw Ant and Deck, right?
Yeah.
Ant and Deck. Actually saw Ant on his own sitting in the window of a cafe, right? I went, oh, look, it's Ant. Oh, look, there's Ant being Ant sitting there on his own. Ah, they're not that friendly either. It's just Ant. And then Deck appeared with two plates. Two sandwich on each plate. The sandwich is cut in half. He put the two plates down and then took one half sandwich from one plate, one half from the other, and swapped them round. So they had happy... God almighty! Where is their cynicism?
It's impressive that they like each other so much after they've worked together for so long.
They both have stuff on one another, don't they? They both know.
I go, well, very nice young boys.
Well, apparently, or they're playing the long game.
They were in Fist of Fun. I was in Ant and Deck's TV show.
Yeah.
Me and Stuart Lee, you can find this on YouTube if you really search for it. We played policemen in a sketch on, because they did our show, so we did their show. We played policemen in Ant and Deck Unzipped or something it was called. It was before they... It might have been called PJ, and don't know, I think it would become Antidote by then. We had to come in and go, you're nicked, and stuff like that. It's pretty bad.
It's good.
I made it sound better than it was.
I like you and Stuart as Cybermen.
Yeah, we were that in the real time.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
Well, I wasn't a Cyberman.
I
had my head crushed by a Cyberman. I've been in Doctor Who. Audio Adventures. With Colin.
It's still very good. Colin Baker,
who I've upset by writing in a new Metro article that he was the worst Doctor Who.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Don't make fun of Colin
Baker. It was a very much throwaway aside.
Well, but he knows everything.
He does.
But, you know, once someone says anything bad about him, he just knows it. He feels it.
He does, and he won't ever let it go. He said, that's another person I have to... He said, that's another person I have to avoid at conventions. I thought, you're all right. You'll be okay on that score. I should try and get him on this. I think he might not come on because he's got a long memory. Colin Baker never forgets. That's what they say. Yeah. Ironically, because everyone always forgets him.
Not everyone.
I saw Kevin from Egghead's eating in Pizza Express, genuinely, with a quiz book on his own.
Who?
Kevin from, is it his name? Kevin from Eggheads? And then I saw CJ from Eggheads in the motorway. I wanted to talk to Richard Osman about this. We were talking about it backstage. I forgot to talk about it because I wanted to whip up some Eggheads versus Pointless controversy. Because Eggheads is shit. Am I right?
Yeah.
And Pointless is great. Am I right?
Okay, I can't beat this.
The audience have got Stockholm syndrome.
I saw Emo Phillips buying dildos in a sex shop.
And he thought he was safe through my complicity that you would this would never get out because
I didn't know him. I just saw him and I wonder what Emo Phillips gets up to. Went into a sex shop and went, I'm following Emo Phillips. He buys bags of dildos.
Are you sure, though? Because you may remember what happened with Margaret Caborn Smith. You're going around, some bloke who looks a bit like Emo Phillips has bought some dildos, and suddenly that becomes, ooh, slap those, haven't you? We'll get you buying dildos, Emo Phillips.
Get those out of you!
Oh, sorry, you're not Emo Phillips.
Sorry, you're... oh God, you're Margaret Caborn Smith.
Oh dear, well, we know we've gone on for a long time.
And, oh God, yeah.
When this edits down, it'll be a good. No. We never edit it down. What? Oh, shit.
Great thing is, you never ever have to listen to this. What a relief.
It's been really good. It's been genuinely really good.
Thank you
very
much. We're
both very self deprecating.
Not having enough friends.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mike, you were number three on the list, and one of the people was in the room. So you were the second person, really, that I thought of.
Well, that's really, really nice. And I love your podcast.
Thank you, Simon. I loved that one you used to do that was like the one we used to do.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, the cover of yours.
Yeah, it was nice.
Where there was two Andrew Collins.
So it's kind of just turned into... usually, this is like me talking to a really famous person, and now it's just
two... I might be famous one day.
Well, hopefully, but for this audience here now, it's just two blokes talking, which you could just go into a pub and see this anywhere, at this standard, I think, as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of odd to have us placed on stage and people staring at us for the entire conversation as well.
I think this is what theatre is all about. Ooh, look how Beckett we are. What's going to happen? Nothing so far. That's what it's about. Nothing.
It could be. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. Sorry. It
oh, fuck off. There's no way.
Sorry it wasn't Al Murray. But you know, in a way, no, I can't pull it off.
In a way, aren't we all sorry it wasn't Al Murray?
Al Murray might be on a future show. Let's take that.
And maybe you can't make it.
Yeah.
And I'll interview him.
You could do that. That would be nice.
I've got some great questions.
Or what we might do is just I'll cancel all the other guests I've got booked in and you can come back again like as a double rollover
that
next
week.
That would
be brilliant.
So
maybe you are doing me one, me two.
If I was Dave Gorman, it really would be. It would be insane. It looks a bit like Dave Gorman, right? Yeah, if I said it's Dave Gorman, someone said no.
Yeah.
If I'd said it's Dave Gorman, how many people would have believed it was Dave Gorman? No, none.
No.
I reckon we could have pulled it off.
Thank you.
I just want it to be, before we finish, just totally silent.
Yeah. As a little moment's remembrance for Slimer from Ghostbusters, who died today.
Did he die today?
Yeah.
Oh. Didn't Slimer die a long time ago and then become a ghost?
Yeah, but the ghost died today.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No. I don't think they exist. I'm with Richard Osman on that. I've seen Ghostbusters, the film Ghostbusters.
I think I'm going hysterical.
I think we might just get to the point where, you know, like just repeating the joke pointless.
If we're going to end, and let's face it, we need to end this.
Or
can we have one more sing along of Murphy's Mob?
That would be too
yeah.
big.
Yeah. One. Yeah,
only if everyone joins in, okay? If everyone's going to join in. We all know the words, right?
You start, don't know the words, make them up.
You start. We all know the words and the tune. You begin and I'll join in.
Tragedy, they remembered that word.
Some were saying, no, you can't play here. Get spreading all your nits about. That's me. My, you know, in the old days it was good because if you didn't know the lyrics to something, there was no way of ever finding them out. And now you can just Google that and find out.
Smash it.
There was no, not the Murphy's Mob theme.
Really?
It took me a long time to know in Friends that they say, let me do the Friends theme tune, then I'll get to the bit, I don't know. And so no one told you life was going to be this way. See, I can clap. Your job's a joke, you're broke. Your love life's... I didn't know what that
you
was for ages.
You thought those were the lyrics. Love life.
I didn't know what it was for ages.
You thought they were the rudest people in the world. Your love life's... Jesus, just so
like,
personal.
Your love life's... DOA, dead on arrival.
All right, okay.
That's what it is, but I found that out because of the internet.
You are fucking corpses.
Could have been that.
Could have been that.
And on that bombshell, let's leave it there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Michael Legg. Thank you. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Al Murray. What? He couldn't do it? Michael Legg? That's no kind of replacement. It is... The music you're listening to is by Pest. It... thanks to Orange Mark at the British Comedy Guide, Chris Evans. Not that one! And everyone at Go Faster Stripe, to Jason and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, and it was produced by Dave Cribb. It's a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe, and Sky Potato production. And don't let anyone tell you differently, because that's what it is. And if you say it isn't, you're wrong. So bad luck. Bye. Hey, that was good, wasn't it? Much better than I expected, let's face it, given who we had on. So if you did enjoy that, please tell your friends about this podcast. Do spread the word on social media or just by speaking to someone with your mouth. And if you want to contribute some money, going to gofasterstripe.com is a great way. You can buy a DVD or a badge or come and see me on tour. My show is called Lord of the Dance. SETI. Not SETI, SETI. That is the joke there. And you can find out all about that at richardherring.com. Thanks for watching and or listening. See you next time.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.